different industries.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Matt Adamson. I'm the attorney for the appellant. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, please.
Very well.
There were two issues with the Department of Labor Industries' approach to this case below. The first being their interpretation of the WAC provisions relating to warehouses and freight handlers, and the second being that finding of fact number 4 is not supported by substantial evidence. Relating to the first issue, the department testified at trial that they interpret warehouses to include only the situation where a customer brings in their own goods and stores them and then either picks them up or has them shipped. And if there's any unloading or loading of goods or any packaging or repackaging, that's no longer a warehouse. That's not what the WAC provision says. There is a distinction in the WAC provision between self-storage warehouses, self-storage facilities where people bring their own goods and warehouses, where it's not plausible to think that somebody's going to bring in coffee, rice, dry cement, potatoes, and the employee says, hey, you know, go put those on aisle 9. The employees are going to unload those types of things, which are specifically referenced in the WAC, with a forklift on pallet jacks and move them throughout the warehouse to have them stored. If the pallet's broken, they might sometimes have to put it on a new pallet to put it in storage. But that's how warehouses operate, and it's not a plausible interpretation of the statute or of the regulation, to say that if there's any unloading of goods or loading of goods, that it's no longer a warehouse. I would ask, how else do these goods get to the warehouse? They obviously are shipped there. They have to be unloaded from the trucks using forklifts and other equipment, which are specifically referenced in the WAC for warehouses, and moved to storage. And when it's time to ship them out, they have to be loaded back onto goods. So to say that loading or unloading of goods makes them a freight handler is just not a plausible distinction between the two. Instead, the defining characteristic between the two is the storage of goods. Why are the goods coming here? You have to look at both of these regulations in the light of the business category that they're referring to, a warehouse versus a freight handler. You know, freight handler regulation specifically does refer to packing, handling, shipping, repackaging merchandise. But, you know, somebody at a retail store that takes a lot of online orders would do those same things. Nobody would say that those retail employees at a store that package their goods, that handle the goods, that ship them out, that they're a freight handler because they work in a retail store. So you have to look at, are they dealing with cargo? Are they dealing with things like steel, pipe, grains, produce? Is this in freight? Is it the continual movement of goods from the original destination to an end destination? Or is it coming here, you know, on a shipment to be then put into storage, and as the regulation says, usually stored for long periods of time? The other interpretive error that the department made was the department's testimony at the hearing that 1 month of storage is not, in his opinion, a long time. But the evidence didn't show that. The evidence showed that the average storage time at this particular warehouse was 6 months.
Counsel, this is about setting rates for premiums for the activities of employees. And so far, you're just focusing on what they move and how they move it and how long it's there. But it's the activities. And your client's website offers, advertises, says you're in the business of activities other than warehouse storage.
The website itself
doesn't that support
says that they offer these services.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that they offer services of freight handling, of being in the continual movement of goods, of things like lumber and steel and produce, that it's just a cog in freight. But I understand what you're saying in terms of the risk to the employees
Isn't that the distinction, that the department's supposed to establish a premium based on the risk, so you look at what activities the employees are engaged in?
They do, but I think that you can't show up for 1 hour and say, well, I saw somebody unloading goods from a truck, and therefore you're a freight handler as opposed to a warehouse, particularly when you're treating all of my client's competitors as warehouses, which the undisputed evidence showed. So they have to, A, be consistent, and B, interpret the regulations as they're written, that there has to be such a thing as a warehouse. And if the employee, if unloading goods that arrive makes you a freight handler, then there's really no warehouses, and that could not have been their intent.
Right, that's what you're also packaging, rewrapping, labeling, shipping.
Well,
that's,
I think,
more than merely loading and unloading.
Right. Well, I don't believe there was any evidence other than that they repackage and package goods, other than occasionally when something comes in broken. And, you know, the warehouse classification specifically refers to dry cement. If dry cement comes in on pallets and the pallet's broken, yes, and the employees in the warehouse are going to have to load that onto a new pallet in order to store it. But I don't think that turns them into freight handlers. If they have to occasionally do something because something broke, that's not their normal business. And this does get then to finding a fact four, which says that the business is engaged in unloading, inspecting, labeling, repackaging, and reloading goods. But there's no evidence that this occurred as some part of some continuous process. I mean, goods didn't come in, get repackaged, and then put back on a ship, as a freight handler might do, or on a truck. They came in for purposes of storage. So, yes, they get unloaded. Yes, they get inspected. They might get labeled. There was really no evidence that they repackaged goods. And at some point, they're going to get loaded back on. But that doesn't make them a freight handler. The distinction is storage. Otherwise, there's no distinction, but there would really be no warehouses, because these things don't occur all as part of a continual movement of goods, versus storage, which is really the risk that we're talking about here. We'll reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, and may it please the Court. My name is Thomas Foliano. I represent the Department of Labor and Industries in this matter. This Court should affirm the Superior Court for three reasons. First, there is substantial evidence in the records that LSI not only received and shipped merchandise, but also provided logistical services as a middle entity by repackaging, labeling, and then distributing that merchandise to third parties. Second, LSI was properly classified as a freight handler based on that substantial evidence. And third, the freight handling class properly and best reflects the occupational hazards that LSI's workers faced in the course of their responsibilities.
Did the judge rely on what was on the website in terms of making the finding about these other activities that the employees engage in, or was there some other evidence that, despite the advertising, that what they actually did, other than the visit that your employee made there?
Yes, the evidence certainly came in part from the websites, which are exhibits 1 and 2 in the record, but it also came from testimony directly from LSI's president in this case. Testimony was also provided by the department's account manager for LSI, and he's the department representative who conducted the investigation in this case, which involved interviews with LSI's employees and administrative personnel and an actual on-site visit to the facility. And all of that evidence together is what amounts to substantial evidence in this case. The testimony from LSI's president established that there was a constant movement of goods. That was directly from LSI's president. He testified that the merchandise was described as cargo and freight at various times throughout the testimony. And he also established that LSI provided not just storage and not even just shipping, but a variety of other logistical services, services like repackaging, labeling, casing.
It doesn't matter how much they do. I mean, if occasionally a pallet, you know, something on a pallet breaks, so you repackage it so the whatever's in it doesn't leak out. Is that enough to constitute repackaging or relabeling to fall within the definition of freight handling?
Certainly. What the fact finder is doing in this case, the Superior Court, is looking at the totality of the operations, the business operations, the activities of the workers, and making a very fact-intensive inquiry and matching that up to the possible freight, to the possible risk classifications, in this case, the freight handling classification. So you're looking at what is the best fit overall. That's what the fact finder was doing below, looking at what is the best fit. Is it this risk classification or is it that risk classification? And now on appeal, this court is reviewing for substantial evidence for the Superior Court's findings, and that's obviously a very deferential standard of review. This court is not rebalancing that evidence or reweighing credibility. And the record does establish that.
But what do the terms mean? So labeling, if a guy comes by with a big marker and writes number 10 and puts some initials on that it goes to one particular truck, is that relabeling?
Well, again, you're looking at the overall risk.
Well, is it that or is it sending it through a machine that puts on some kind of identifying merchandising kind of like label for retail or wholesale distribution? What's the scale here?
It's the latter, and that is informed by the totality of the terms within the freight classification. Mm-hmm. That includes descriptions of specialized machinery, which LSI utilized in this case. They actually had a conveyor belt and a variety of specialized machinery, a magnet lifter that would lift these pallets up and drop them onto the conveyor belt, where they were processed through a system, and there was a casing machine, a labeling machine, a stacking machine, and these and the specialized machine was used to unpack and label and repackage and store and ship 2,000 pounds worth of pallets.
So if they had taken the same product off a truck in pallets, parked it in pallets, broken it down in small pallets, and just reloaded those pallets on the truck, warehousing or freight handling?
I think it would still fit into the freight handling classification based on the overall.
Because it didn't leave in the same configuration it arrived, some additional service was applied?
Right. It's the variety of the services that provide. The goods are in the continual movement of goods. It's not just storage. It's not even just shipping. It's operating as a middle entity within the continual movements of goods, with a manufacturer on one side and a retailer or wholesaler on the other side. And all of those services are services that LSI provided in this case. That came directly, again, from LSI's testimony.
What do you mean by shipping? Does that mean doing something other than tendering them back into the physical possession of the owner who stored them?
Well, in this case, shipping meant distributing to end users or third parties, manufacturers or wholesalers. The merchandise came in from one business or one entity and was processed by LSI and then went out to a third party. So that's
if LSI got them off my truck in 10-ton units, but I picked them up in half-ton units and they went right back in my truck, they're not freight handled.
Well, these are always going to be.
But if they give the same stuff to UPS, freight handling.
Again, these are always going to be very fact-intensive inquiries. I think that your hypothetical would conceivably fit within the first hypothetical, where it came in from you, went back to you without any sort of processing. That might conceivably fit within a warehouse. But again, you're looking at the overall features of each risk classification, and the warehouse classification is very limited in scope. It doesn't even contemplate the possibility of shipment within that risk classification. The activities are limited to movement within the facility itself and basic record keeping, stuff of that nature.
Do you agree that it's just self-storage warehousing, that the record represents that? Counsel said it was that you interpreted warehousing only to be where the owner brings it in and stores it and takes it back out.
Right. I think that was in reference possibly to a different risk classification for self-storage, and I don't think this, obviously, the record does not establish that LSI was a self-storage entity in this case.
Well, why shouldn't we be concerned about the allegation that you're treating all their competitors differently?
Well, there's actually nothing in the record to support that allegation. That was entirely conclusory and self-interested testimony that came only from LSI's president in this case. It was not corroborated by any other evidence or anything else in the record that was considered by the fact finder, in this case, the Superior Court, and disregarded. And this court obviously does not reweigh those types of credibility determinations. And so that argument can be dismissed as the Superior Court did. And with my remaining 2 minutes, I also want to just focus on the hazards that are posed by the activities to LSI's workers. The fundamental policy of the Industrial Insurance Act is to protect workers against the occupational hazards they face in their day-to-day work. And the department has been provided broad discretion by the legislature in assigning these and classifying these occupations. And LSI's operations, those variety of logistical services that we've been talking about, do pose a higher degree of hazard to its workers than just a simple warehouse. This is not just a simple warehouse. It's not just a busy warehouse. This is a warehouse that involved, this was a freight handling operation that was located in a warehouse that also necessitated very specialized and heavy machinery and heavy merchandise. As I mentioned, there was a production line with specialized machinery. Their operation also involved floor loading by the LSI's workers, which involved physically and manually unpacking and unloading these 2,000-pound distribution-level pallets for repackaging, for stacking, for storage, and then eventual shipment. And so all of these features correspond to a higher degree of hazard than a simple warehouse. And assigning LSI to a lower, less specific, generalized warehouse that doesn't contemplate these types of activities really conflicts with the fundamental purpose of the Act, which is to provide for workers and to classify occupations in accordance with the most consistent classification in this case, which is the freight handling classification. So in conclusion, the Superior Court correctly determined that LSI was best classified as a freight handler, and that was based on substantial evidence, and asked this court to affirm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One clarification or correction. I mean, LSI's president that testified did not testify that there was a constant movement of goods. I mean, the citation to that is to page 22 of the record, and the testimony, it was to a constant movement of the revenue figures or the amount of merchandise in the business that comes in. It goes up and down is what he was referring to with that, which leads to one of the key problems here. You know, when you have somebody who's being treated different than their competitors, and there was testimony to that, and they challenged the classification.
Other than the testimony, was there something in the record about?
I believe that there were some of my recollection is that there were some exhibits that came in that related to some of these competitors' businesses of what they did. But that's kind of what I'm getting at here is that the department has more of a burden once there's a challenge than to spend an hour on one day or an hour and a half looking at what they see at that particular time and talking to one person. And the distinguishing characteristic here is storage, and they made no investigation and put in no evidence as to how long goods are stored at this facility. And I will submit, too, that the record does not support that there was constant or even repeated or usual repackaging or packaging of goods, that goods arrive, that sometimes they need to be put on a new pallet, but that they're coming there for purposes of storage. And when you look at the website, not that sometimes photos do speak 1,000 words, and you look at the pictures on there, this is a warehouse. There's goods stacked, stored for those purposes. And we believe that there was no evidence to support this finding, which implies at least that goods are coming in, they're being broken down, they're being repackaged, and they're being shipped out, you know, the same day or 4 weeks later or something like
but
that.
But isn't the test whether there is something more than mere warehousing? Because if there's other activity than the mere warehouse activity, the department's entitled to rate that activity.
Well, now I think we're getting into the sort of this multiple classification rule, which they have abandoned and are now saying doesn't apply in their response brief. And my interpretation, as we said in our brief of those regulations, is there has to be two separate businesses for that to apply. And the fact that something occasionally occurs at this business doesn't make it a freight handler.
But it's a risk exposure issue. You can't honestly say there's no exposure to a risk other than driving the forklifts in the facility under the facts that are in the record?
Well, what I can say is the facts in the record show that there's an occasional risk when something comes in broken, or the occasional risk that something needs to be packaged, then yes, that occurs. But I think the department has a burden to try and figure out how often does that happen and put in evidence as to whether this is a freight handler or not, or whether it's operating a warehouse where this occasionally happens. It's kind of like my example earlier with the retail employees. They don't become freight handlers because they're handling goods and shipping them out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes our calendar for this morning. We'll be at recess.